Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this final Sunday after the Epiphany is found in the Old Testament book of Exodus, chapter 34, verses 29 to 35. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not realize that the skin of his face was shining because he had been speaking with the Lord. When Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, they were amazed that the skin of his face was shining. So they were afraid to come close to him. Moses called to them, so Aaron and all the rulers of the community returned to him, and Moses spoke to them. Afterward, all the people of Israel came close to him, and he gave them all of the commands that the Lord had spoken to him on Mount Sinai. When Moses was finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out again. Then he would come out and tell the people of Israel what he had been commanded. Whenever the people of Israel saw Moses' face, they would see that the skin of Moses' face was shining. Then Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with the Lord again. This is our text. Dear people of God, today is Transfiguration Sunday. It's the day that we celebrate Jesus shining with just a portion of his heavenly glory in order to encourage the disciples and us. Now, on that Mount of Transfiguration, along with Jesus, also stood Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah were there because they were two prophets of the Old Testament who had come to encourage Jesus as he was about to go to the cross. Something that they both knew quite a bit about, for they both preached about it in their time in the Old Testament, and they both had also come from heaven, where we know everything. Our text is a story about Moses, who had a similar, yet very different experience with shining. When Moses was on the mountain of the Lord the first time, the Israelites made Aaron make a golden calf for them to worship instead of the Lord. And when Moses came down from the mountain and saw the golden calf and the people were worshiping it, he took the two tablets of the law that the Lord had carved out for him and he smashed them on the ground. Then he went and he took that golden calf and he ground it up and put it in the people's drinking water so that they would have to drink their sins. Then Moses went back up the mountain for another 40 days and 40 nights, and the Lord made him two new tablets of the law. Now the mountain that Moses went up, Mount Sinai, is described this way in Exodus chapter 24. The cloud of the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. The appearance of the glory of the Lord looked like a devouring fire on top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered into the middle of the cloud and climbed up the mountain. So Moses is in the cloud on the mountain of the Lord. And our text says that when Moses came down the mountain, came out of the cloud of the Lord's glory, his face was shining. Now, what was that? Well, it's not Moses' glory. Moses was just a regular, plain old, sinful human being like the rest of us. He was lazy, scared, and frustrated. Moses had no glory of his own. Who is it that has all glory and has plenty to spare? Well, it's our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When Jesus shone on the Mount of Transfiguration, he gave his disciples just a tiny peek behind the curtain. And they couldn't handle that. When Moses goes into the cloud of the Lord's glory, he needs it to be an actual cloud. See, the cloud shielded him from seeing the full-on of the Lord's glory, that thing that drove the disciples to their knees. For the same Lord Jesus Christ who shone on the Mount of Transfiguration is the same Lord who here, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, shone with this glory on the mountain for the Israelites. When Moses leaves the mountain and he leaves the presence of the Lord's glory hung on his skin for a while. He had a holy suntan, not S-U-N, but S-O-N, a suntan. The glory of Jesus, the light of the world, reflected off of Moses' face when he came back into the Israelite camp. Moses then read for the Israelites all the laws that Moses had given him up on the mountain that were written on the two tablets. And those tablets, just want to clear something up. When we see the tablets in pictures, they always have 10 commandments on them, divided 3 on one side, 7 on the other side, because that's how we divide the commandments. There are 3 commandments that talk about our relationship with the Lord, and then 7 commandments that talk about our relationship with each other. But that's not all that was on those tablets of stone. When you look at the actual account, what was written on the tablets was everything that the Lord told Moses, what he commanded his people Israel. There are 7 chapters of the book of Exodus inscribed onto those tablets. So even though we don't have the actual tablets anymore, we still have exactly what was written on them found here in this book. And after Moses read the whole holy law of the Lord for the people, he put a veil over his face. Now, do you remember that part of the story? You ever heard that before? It's pretty important because the Apostle Paul makes a big deal out of it in his book, 2 Corinthians. Paul says that Moses put the veil over his face, not for the sake of the people, but for the sake of the word of God. See, Moses didn't care that the people were afraid. They should be afraid. We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. We should be impressed by his power and by his glory. A fear of the Lord makes us not want to disobey him. It makes us not want to make him angry. A healthy fear of the Lord is a good thing. It's what our country has lost completely in our day. Nobody cares if what they say or do goes against what the Lord says. I do what I want, right? That's what they all say. No one cares about what God's word says is right. Everybody in our day has their own truth. They don't care what would make the Lord upset. No, see, a fear of God is a good thing. No, Moses put this veil over his face so that the Israelites would not see this glory, this shining, fade away. Because as important as the law is, it always fades away. Moses' face faded, and the law fades. See, you can get people to do just about anything you want using the law. Parents have known this for a long time, and so has the church. The problem is that power fades. It goes away. Yelling at kids only works as long as they're little. When they're big, they get up and they walk away. So also in the church, yelling at people, threatening hell, making people give money, that works. But only for a while. Eventually, people get up and they walk away. Plus, that law doesn't save any souls. Only the gospel saves souls and changes hearts. Nobody goes to visit their mother because their mother was mean to them. People go visit their mother because their mother loves them. So also with the Lord. Nobody believes in Jesus because he's going to come and condemn everyone. No, people love Jesus because he loved us first. Because he sacrificed himself for us. Because he already saved us. All those laws written on that tablet about building a holy tent and slicing up animals and spreading their blood everywhere, those laws didn't save anybody. Those laws were simply all pictures of Jesus Christ and what he would do to save us. All those Old Testament laws were given so that people one day would see Jesus and say, "Oh, there's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." All of this stuff was all about him. But you can also see why so many people were confused, how they didn't get it. They didn't listen to John, and they didn't listen to Jesus. They just held on to their old, fading ways. And still, that still happens today, Paul said in 2 Corinthians. Everything in the Bible is written about Jesus. If you don't understand that, then nothing in the Bible is going to make any sense. That's why there are so many different churches in the world. Because this veil still remains over people's faces when they refuse to see Jesus in everything. But you see him. By the power of the Holy Spirit, working through word and sacrament, you have been shown Jesus. You see him and you believe in him as your Savior from sin. Don't ever take that for granted. And don't assume that everybody sees that the same way. Now we are about to enter the season of Lent. And this truth is going to be paraded before our eyes. We are going to focus on little tiny details of the Lenten story, and they are all fascinating and super important because they are all about Jesus. How he was determined to be sacrificed for our sins. How he was willingly arrested. How he was proven innocent and still was condemned. And he did it all for us. Every little bit of salvation history was written for you, for your salvation, to show you Christ. Listen to this beautiful encouragement written by the Apostle Paul to the Romans, chapter 15. Indeed, whatever was written in the past was written for our instruction, so that through patient endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we would have hope. And may God, the source of patient endurance and encouragement, grant that you agree with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that with one mind, in one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be the glory. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.